WebmasterRadio.fm presents a show custom built to give you everything you need to build your business on the web. WebmasterRadio.fm presents CEO Coach. From funding to finance, set up to staffing, our CEO coaches break down the art of business development from the ground up. Now here to get you started are the experts of online business startup, management, and development, the founders of Outlines Venture Group, Jillian Music and Ann Kennedy.
Welcome to CEO Coach. I'm Jillian Music, co-founder of Moz and Brett Approved and CEO at Outlines Venture Group. I'm here with my friend and colleague, Ann Kennedy, president of Outlines Venture Group, author of Global Search Engine Marketing, and co-founder of the world's largest consortium of digital marketing companies. Together, we're serial entrepreneurs helping online companies to launch, grow, pivot, and thrive. Find out more at outlinesventure.com. Hello, Ann. What's on your mind today?
Impact investing. We have talked about it before, and I want us to take a deeper dive into why it really matters.
Oh, good. All right. Let's start with a definition of impact investing. So what is a social impact investor?
Okay. Venture capitalists and angel investors who fund businesses that foster social benefit are called impact investors, or sometimes social impact investors. Impact investors make individual investments in social impact companies, or they form entire groups or funds that focus solely on impact investing, hopefully okay. Thoughtfully and slowly as well. Impact funding is often referred to as funding companies with a double bottom line. And in the context of our discussion today, it's really exciting that there is growing evidence that indicates that impact investing supports the conventional bottom line with better returns for investors. In other words, investments in impact companies are returning higher ROI to their investors than companies that don't take into account the social impact of their work. As an example, listen to these words of wisdom from Evelyn Bouchatsky, who is a co-founder of One Way Ventures. She says, and I quote, "Impact investing is the only investing that makes a difference." So she will be joining us in a few weeks on CEO Coach to tell us more about One Way Ventures. And that's called One Way Ventures because it funds immigrants exclusively, not just because it's the right thing to do, but because immigrants found 2/3 of all startups. Did you know that?
I didn't actually, but it seems intuitive that, well, we can talk a little bit about why that happens later when we chat with Evelyn. But yes, that's fascinating.
And in her experience with Techstars Boston, when she and her co-founder Semyon were running it, they found all, that's capital A, double L, of their top performing startups had immigrant founders. Further, mm-hmm. She pointed out, because immigrants do not have access to traditional VC networks, their valuations are typically lower, making a better business case for us to invest.
So, absolutely brilliant stuff. As we look at the kind of what the broad brushstroke of what you just said is, it's wonderful to think, you know, that as we looked at the end of the 20th century, the entirety of maybe the 18th or 19th, certainly, and 20th centuries were kind of founded on the fact that financial ROI was in direct conflict with social good, that social good happened after the ROI was received. So, you know, the Pierpont Morgans and the Rockefellers and so on and so forth, as we look at those monstrous names from the United States in the industrial sector, they would often truly, you know, crush the people who worked for them. Their companies were built on the backs of their employees, their customers, and their vendors, not necessarily for the benefit thereof. And so only for the benefit of the investor. It was really just capital only. And once the capital was acquired, then sometimes there was really significant social good that was accomplished, but that was largesse and that was donations and so on. The Carnegie Libraries, for example, come to mind. And there's much, much more, of course, but they were very separate. What you're really saying now is they're not separate anymore.
And you know what? Recognizing the value of a double bottom line is not unique to the U.S. We recently heard Andy Robbins at the U.S. State Department say, we are experiencing a recession in democracy worldwide and the rise of nationalism. If we increase social and political stability, economic prosperity, it's critical to national security. And guess what? Entrepreneurs build economic engines.
So, yes, he did draw a really tight line between the two. Right, the idea that the democratic or open government is absolutely based on economic stability is a critical piece. And you're right, and so is Andy, right? Entrepreneurs build economic engines.
Yeah, so take, for instance, the Balkans, which you and I visited not long ago. Croatia, Macedonia, and the rest of the former Yugoslavia have been fought over by powers from the East and West for millennia, beginning with the Romans and then continuing as pawns tossed between the Ottoman Empire of the Turks and the Austro-Hungarian Empire of Europe. I've been doing my homework. Religion played a role, clearly Islam and Orthodox Christianity vied to hang on to their congregations. However, their real vulnerability was geographic, being in the path of the ebb and flow of competing empires. You know what? It continues today as these tiny countries are on the front lines between Western civilization and the influence of Eastern powers. Maybe even outright encroachment.
Yes, I would agree. And you're right, you know, for thousands of years, this has been contested land. So, Anne, in our recent trip to the Balkans, we encountered numerous stable and successful companies which have built some products and services for both the local and the foreign markets. Now, the most common business model that we saw entails selling cost-effective development services to countries, you know, where the exchange rate gives this company the price advantage over local providers. So that's kind of, you know, the easiest way in. We can sell it for less. Now, they're challenged to sell worldwide because many are breaking into new markets with the support of impact investors and so on, who invest their time or mentorship, business advice, and champions. They can succeed. But notice it's not necessarily around capital. Now, for example, I've been referring some of the dev teams that we met during our travels to companies here in the States. Once I was able to meet with those providers in person to see the quality of work, then I was comfortable providing references. So the impact investment made when we were in the Balkans was actually made by Swiss Contact and even the U.S. State Department, right? Swiss Contact, for example, is one of those investment groups that helped cover the costs of not only bringing folks like us and others, business advisors and mentors to the region, but we were able then to increase the quality, the quantity, and the long-term success of those tech-based businesses.
That's right. Not all impact investments involve capital investment directly to the company or the companies in question. Some of the other companies we saw on our trip included Slice Pizza Delivery Platform, which you'll find all over the U.S., which in 2017 was, quote, hiring like crazy in Ohrid, Macedonia, which is a little resort town that you wouldn't think had such a powerhouse in it. Or Inchu, which builds e-commerce platforms for companies all over the world from Osijek, Croatia. Or Code Anywhere, a cloud-based integrated development environment, which is popular with programmers worldwide. Code Anywhere is in Croatia, also in the seaside city of Split. While none of these companies are specifically the results of capital impact investments, meeting with them during our visit and then hearing subsequent panel discussion here at home in Philadelphia on building talent pipelines for tech companies led me to a big aha moment, an epiphany, if you will. And it goes like this. As much as current events and the democracy recession worldwide may dismay us, if we can all ignore the high drama coming from the top, which honestly sounds more like a trashy spy novel these days. If we keep our heads down, working at our jobs in the trenches, and as do these companies in located in contested countries, as Andy Robbins would describe the Balkans and similar areas of contention, we can stem the rise of nationalism through the development of economic engines. So think globally, act locally.
Yeah, indeed. It was interesting for me to note that people often say they'd like to work towards world peace, and rarely does anyone equate that with investing or business advisory work. But it was quite clear, I think, to both of us as investors and advisors that you and I and our colleagues were quite literally able to work towards world peace by providing services and investments that stabilize very contested areas of the world. So, I think it's important that we put what we're talking about into some context here. Jakob Modier of Swiss Contact, a group that we mentioned earlier that spends a great deal of time and effort building economic stability in the Balkan countries, said to me, "We're working to contain the economic migration. With all the intellectually capable youth leaving to pursue careers in other countries because the standard of living is better, it's easy to turn the remaining people to fascism." Right? We work to develop a different mindset, he said. We need the young people to know that there are other options in their lives than growing up to work for the government. That's why we focus on developing an entrepreneurial ecosystem in every country and operating events in which they collaborate to increase the value of their businesses together. We're developing economic engines, interdependency, collaboration, and networks. And these are the building blocks of both prosperity and, of course, the foundations of peace. So I think we'd better take a break here, Anne. When we come back, we'll continue what's really a fascinating discussion around what does impact investment entail, where does it take place, and how do you engage, because it is returning higher ROI, and we'll get into that when we come back.
More on how to get your business on the web with CEO Coach after this.
Do you look at the task of ranking your site at the top of the search engines like you would climbing the top of Mount Everest? It doesn't have to be. TopSEOs.com knows how hard that climb can be, and they can make top ranking a reality. TopSEOs sends you to only the right search vendors and agencies that they know will work for you. Since 2002, TopSEOs.com has reviewed and researched the best search engine marketing agencies and solutions providers. Don't risk the cost of falling off the proverbial peak of search rankings. Let TopSEOs give you peace of mind. TopSEOs.com, the independent authority on search vendors.
Hi, I'm Montel Williams. Most of you know me as a talk show host, but I'm also an author, actor, single father of four, avid snowboarder, and I'm also a medical marijuana patient. Living with multiple sclerosis, I'm in pain every day. Medical marijuana is my last resort, and it helps me when all other drugs have failed. If you'd like more information about medical marijuana, you can contact the Marijuana Policy Project at mpp.org or call 1-877-JOIN-MPP.
More on how to get your business on the web with CEO Coach after this. We're back with Jillian Music and Ann Kennedy on CEO Coach, only on webmasterradio.fm.
Welcome back to CEO Coach. Jillian and I today are taking a really deep dive into impact investing and how it is dependent on both investors that want to do good with what they're investing in, and they want the companies to perform some social benefit, but furthermore, how it returns better returns for them and their investors and their shareholders, and it has a global effect on improving prosperity around the world. That's pretty big, right, Jillian?
That is really big, yes.
Yes.
I would agree. So before the break, we were talking about why some of the kind of countries, if you will, the governments are leaning in, even when it's not their own country, why impact investors want to lean in from a social or political viewpoint and so on to work to develop economic engines and literally work towards world peace. But we should take a little time to talk about the financial value of the ROI of working with these impact companies.
Absolutely, because you remember what Evelyn Bouchatsky said?
Yes.
All of their best performing startups in Boston's TechStars had immigrants on the founding team. Investing in those startups proved to be good business.
So let's take a quick look at some of the past impact investing that's happened, such as early VC firms that were, seeking for-profit companies that provide that social benefit. There's some notable exits, Tesla, SolarCity, Nest Labs, Seventh Generation. And since 2001, these companies have invested $13 billion and $10 billion of that just since 2010. So a significant portion of investments actually go into these, if you will, social investment companies. Social investment companies can lean in on a number of issues. It can be about gender equity, which we talk a lot about at Sibylla Masters Fund. It can be around economic parity around the world. It can also be around things like clean water or solar or other alternative power and so on. So a number of different ways we can look at this.
Yeah, in fact, one of the earliest VCs was Double Partners, or DBL Partners, which stands for Double Bottom Line. That was formed in 2004 to invest in companies that can deliver top-tier venture capital returns, that would be your first bottom line, while enabling social, environmental, and economic improvement in the regions where they operate. There's your second bottom line. Can we just point out for a moment that DBL was co-founded by a woman? Nancy Fund. They invest in clean energy, healthcare, IT, and sustainable products. And the Tesla and SolarCity that you mentioned before, Jillian, were among their big exits. So another $3 billion raise was announced last year by TPG Ventures and Breakthrough Energies to fund solutions to infrastructure in far reaches of the world. And both of those funds have some big shot star quality names in them, like Bill Gates and Bono and a number of people like that. Now, you could say that $16 billion over 16 years is a drop in the bucket compared to the $148 billion invested worldwide in 2017. But the trajectory of increased funding since 2010 is encouraging, by which I mean if $10 billion has been invested since 2010, then that's more than three times during the previous 9 years.
Yeah, so the speed of increase in this kind of investment is significant, and it does show that there is a strong trend that, again, that 20th to 21st century change in how capital is made and whether it's integrated into the business process or whether it's something that's an afterthought after you make your millions is really notable.
Absolutely. And apart from the dollars and the increased velocity of investment, I wanted to point out a trend that we see emerging, which is funding not verticals like healthcare or clean energy, but demographics. By that, I mean underserved races, regions, and economic levels, which is what TPG Ventures and Breakthrough Energies are doing. Mm-hmm. Along those lines, we recently chatted with Looney Liebes, who's managing director for Fledge, which he calls the globally conscious company accelerator. He runs accelerators in 24 countries, and he calls his company also TechStars for companies with purpose. Mm-hmm. Every June, he tracks overall impact in terms of potential impact to compare to the intended impact and the achieved impact. I, for one, am looking forward to this year's report because the previous reports show all indicators rising. Now, even though the total achieved impact remains small because, as he puts it, his fledglings are quite young. And as Looney says, change takes time.
Yes, it does. And there are many who are working to make that change. For example, in Austin, Texas, TechStars has launched an accelerator specifically for impact startups. Right? Now, who would have thought that? Looney Libus was, you know, shouting in the wind, not just 6 years ago, people telling him literally, you're quite nuts. There's no money to be made here. And in 2018, TechStars has its own. So Managing Director Zoe Schlag says, we are looking for entrepreneurs whose business model and impact are intrinsically tied to each other, so the business scales in lockstep with impact. The kind of company she's seeking should increase access to affordability to basic service, reduce poverty or inequality, increase diversity and inclusion. So that's their focus. And their first cohort, by the way, will begin next month.
Right. And in Portland, Oregon, my former hometown, our good friend Nitin Rai has grown his portfolio to 15 startups for his fund Elevate, which reports investing $2.1 million to founders. And 80% of those founders are women, racial minorities, or veterans. And the Elevate's portfolio companies have raised a total of more than $24 million and created 198 jobs. When we spoke with him more than a year ago, he was already bullish on inclusion. I would say he is walking the talk. He also heads up Thai Global, which is a 25-year-old organization formed to aid underserved founders around the world. Also based in Portland, Oregon, is the Women's Venture Capital Fund, founded by two women, Edith Dorson and Monica Doty, in 2011 to seed fund diverse founding teams. Now, they have evolved as well. In 2017, they announced a second fund of $20 million to focus on Series A stage startups, where they observed a gap for growing companies looking for cash. Gosh, that sounds familiar, doesn't it?
It certainly does. So we came to the same conclusion, which led us to form the Sibylla Masters Fund. And then, and we're, of course, focused on gender diversity, although we know there are so many diversities, inclusions, and belonging issues that we need to address in companies. That's where we begin. And then there's the big news of 2018, which is that Backstage Capital, founded by Arlen Hamilton, has raised $36 million already to invest in minority women founders, $1 million each. So Arlen has quite a story. 5 years ago, she was homeless and couch surfing. Yet she persisted in creating her own VC fund for overlooked founders and took in her first check in September of 2015, going on to invest $4 million in 90 startups in less than 3 years. So she spread it out quite wide with small bits here and there. Arlen predicts that by 2020, there will be a major exit by a minority founder too big to ignore. So who else is doing impact investing?
Well, the list keeps growing. Ted Reingold compiled a spreadsheet of venture capital firms seeking impact investments, and he put it up on Google Docs. I just want to be clear. His spreadsheet is venture capital funds rather than angel investors, which is really kind of a different animal when you're talking about impact investing.
Yes.
We'll put the link on our Facebook page, CEO Coach Podcast, so that you can check it out. It's quite public and it's really interesting. There are some heavy hitters there, and a rough tally of the size of the funds totals more than $10 billion. That's with a B, $10 billion available for impact investing.
Right. So that's actually a significant change over previous sets of years, if you will. So very, very interesting stuff. We have just a few moments before we need to take a break. I'd like to point out that Kapoor Capital reports half of its investments are in women founders and particularly invests in those that address gaps in the disproportionate effect on minorities. Village Capital recruits leaders from around the world to join their mission to democratize entrepreneurship. Tummy Urban Innovation Fund is founded by Clara Brenner and Julie Lean, and they provide entrepreneurs with the tools they need to help scale their impact and enhance the quality of lives in cities everywhere. So the list goes on and on, but we must take a break now, and we'll be back with our final thoughts about impact investing in just a moment.
More on how to get your business on the web with CEO Coach after this.
Are you looking for the best in WordPress speed, security, and scalability? WP Engine is a digital experience platform for WordPress, powering digital experiences for large brands around the world. With easy-to-use site management tools and powerful do-it-your-way development features, WP Engine gives you the flexibility to build it your way. Improve your SEO and conversion rates with a faster site on WP Engine. Learn more on WPEngine.com.
Looking for a better way to get more traffic and interaction to your Facebook page? Imagine Facebook interactivity on your page like you've never seen. Introducing your new Facebook marketing fix, ZoSocial, the new and revolutionary way to easily manage and automate your Facebook contests and sweepstakes. Create a fun, easy-to-win contest by writing a simple Facebook post. Watch your post go more viral and generate loads of interaction. Track your traffic and generate email lists with ease. ZoSocial is mobile-friendly and complies with Facebook terms of service. Let ZoSocial give your Facebook page some flash today. Zoom over to ZoSocial.com.
Catholic Charities is committed to providing life's basic needs.
We thank you for bringing us all here today, letting these people understand how Catholic Charities runs and how important these people are. And we ask you to guide them, to protect them, and keep them here forever because this community needs them.
Visit www.CatholicCharitiesUSA.org to learn more.
We're back with Jillian Music and Ann Kennedy on CEO Coach, only on webmasterradio.fm.
Welcome back to CEO Coach. We've taken a closer look today at impact investing, who's doing it, why they're doing it, and why it is wise for both investors and for entrepreneurs to seriously consider this tremendous and globally impactful, pun intended, trend, right? When the companies are changing how they look at impact in terms of when they look at it, right? Either you make all your money and then you give some away, or you make it as lockstep with your corporate growth, right? Then that's something that you should be looking at your enterprise as well. So, and before the break, we covered a lot of the groups that have been working towards impact investments and where they're putting that money and so on. We have a couple more that I'd like to mention just before we get into kind of our last wrap-up and top tips here. Impact America Ventures is led by Keisha Cash. She creates opportunity and enhances quality of life for all Americans. And lastly, but not least, there's SoGal Ventures. This is the first female-led millennial venture capital firm. The founders, Pocket Sun and Elizabeth Galbert, have invested in 50 startups to date, and they paint the future of how their generation lives, works, and stays healthy in the United States, Asia Pacific, and Europe. Along with that, the way they've expanded SoGal is to have more than 10 chapters worldwide already. So it's quite safe to say, and we're not alone with the Sibylla Masters Fund. We join a growing network of people who are also leaning in on the positive impact of entrepreneurship in the world today.
Indeed. And so it's hard to sum up such a big topic, but I'll take a whack at it. Here are three things we have observed. First, impact investing is growing with somewhere north of $10 billion, yep, with a B, $10 billion available. And that's just from the ones compiled on Ted Reingold's Google Doc spreadsheet. Two, Impact Investment started with investors interested in environmental sustainability and world health. In some ways, you know, they were kind of like nonprofits and NGOs. But here's the difference. It turns out investors can make money and create social benefits at the same time. This is being proven over and over again that doing well by doing good and doing good by doing well both work and return value to investors. And my third observation is, after 15 years, a trend is growing towards investments in diverse founding teams from underrepresented groups, such as minorities, women, veterans, and in emergent markets worldwide. I just have to say, watch this space. There is more to come.
Yes, that is absolutely true. And we're going to have to call it a week now for CEO Coach. Our time is up. But we will be revisiting this concept of impact investing and more inclusive and diversity on, and diversity on our founding teams over the coming weeks, because this is such a strong trend. And it will speak to whether people are getting investment and certainly whether investors are receiving the ROI they're looking for.
And so you know what? Just in case nobody believes us, we are going to have more of these impact investment pioneers on our show to talk about how they made money doing the right thing.
Absolutely. We will be, speaking with investors, advisors, and people who are working at accelerators and so on, and they will draw those hard lines between the companies that are doing this kind of impact work and integrating that into their growth and the ROI that's coming out of them. So that's it for this week at CEO Coach. We'd like to thank our producers at Webmaster Radio for their support. You can download these shows at webmasterradio.fm/shows/CEO-coach. You can find us at iTunes, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, and many other places around the web. You'll find links and more on our Facebook page at facebook.com/CEO Coach Podcast. Stop by, hit the like button so we know you are there, and tell us what you'd like to hear about on CEO Coach. Thanks for joining us. I'm Jillian Nusig with Ann Kennedy, and you can find out more about how we help companies to launch, grow, pivot, and thrive at OutlinesVenture.com. Till next time.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.